Fuck it.
Fuck it.
Fuck it.
Hey, mama. If you are a mom and are tired of the wash, rinse, repeat, burnout cycle of motherhood, this podcast is for you. If you feel lonely and isolated in your motherhood journey, this podcast is for you. If you feel like you have completely lost your identity since your babies were born, this podcast is for you. If you feel like every other mom has it together except for you, this podcast is for you. My name is Amanda, and I'm a life coach dedicated to teaching every mom the tools she needs to liberate herself off the back burner. I am living proof that a woman can be present and loving to her kids while also being a whole ass person outside of being that kid's mom. The secret? Learning when to say fuck it.
Hello, everyone. I hope you are having a great week. This week, I don't like that intro. I'm starting over again. I hate the intro part of like saying, hi, how are you guys? Hope you're having a good week. It just always sounds so generic and so like small talky. I think that's what bothers me. It's just small talk and I fucking hate small talk. I need to come up with like my own way of starting this bitch every time because I'm tired of it feeling inauthentic and corny and not me. Hello, everyone. This is your hello. This is your intro. I'm not editing any of that out. In all sincerity, I do hope you're having a great week. But if you're not, that's also okay. We put so much emphasis on happiness. Like, if your life isn't happy, if you're not happy, then it's something's wrong. No, bitch. It's just the human experience. It's just that, like, life is 50-50. And if you were happy all the time, it would get kind of boring. You wouldn't be able to appreciate the happiness. The reason why we can appreciate happiness is because we know what sadness feels like. We can appreciate safety and security after we've been scared. And that's been like it's been jeopardized. What am I looking for? Whatever. I don't know. It doesn't have to be perfect. It's fine. The reason why we can appreciate being full is because we know what feeling hungry feels like. It feels awful. So the goal of life is not to be happy 100% of the time. The negative emotions get a bad rap because they feel different in our bodies, but they're all just sensations in your body and they're all here to teach you something. Not the way that I planned on starting this podcast episode, but here we are. So last week, you will remember that I was talking about some books that I was reading, and this one, Maybe Next Time by Seska Major, was one of them. I did finish this book. And I was pissed when I finished it. It was one of those endings where, like, I read it and I yelled and cried and threw the book. I was so mad. And I was all prepared to go on Goodreads and give it a 1-star review, be like, fuck this book. But I recognized that I was having a tantrum and I let myself calm down first before I did that. Where I went and reviewed someone's hard work. Like, I think about that all the time. The effort put into writing a whole book and the effort of getting a publisher to read it and be like, yeah, this is good. Let's publish it. And then the effort of the book tour. And just because it's published doesn't mean people know it exists or are going to read it, you know? And this bitch, this Seska Major, this author, she did a well enough job with this book, at least, to get into Reese Witherspoon's book club. Like, she worked really hard. And so she doesn't deserve to get a 1-star rating from me in the midst of a tantrum. So it's a Groundhog-style day book where this woman relives the same day over and over and over again. But at the end of the day, her husband dies. Sometimes like very violently dies. And so it was kind of a hard read in that respect, because like, I remember the first time she went through a day and he died and it was like a violent death. I was like, oh God, this is really heavy. Just the amount of grief. And if you've lost someone close to you in your life, it brings back all of that stuff inside of you. And I was just like, oh, I don't actually know if this book is like good for me. I don't want to relive my grief over and over again. So it's hard in that sense. And then it gets like redundant and a little bit boring because it's thick. I mean, how many pages are in this thing? 372 pages. She's reliving the same day through all of those pages. She doesn't get through to the other side where the cycle is finally broken until the very last page. And that page is 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 lines long. So needless to say, you don't know what happens when she finally breaks out of the cycle. You don't know if her husband is alive, if he does die, you don't know. And that's the part that pisses you off. And the reviews on Goodreads are mixed bag, because people had like a lot of thoughts and opinions on that. After I calmed down, my opinion of this book is that it actually is a very good read. And although it does get long and redundant in the middle, a lot of people are just like, this book should have been cut in half, or at least significantly reduced. But that's the point, because death is guaranteed for all of us. And that, you know, that whole saying of like, live each day as if it were your last, it sort of takes that idea, but puts that responsibility on the partner, because she knows that it's going to be her husband's last day. And what are you going to do with it? But life can be redundant. Once you get to a certain point in your life, you have like the career that you've always wanted, you have the kids that you've always wanted, and the husband you've always wanted. And then you just do life every single day. And a lot of the days do look the same. It does get very wash, rinse, repeat, wash, rinse, repeat, wash, rinse, repeat. You do lose yourself in that. And so it actually is a really useful storytelling mechanism in that sense. And it really makes you question your own everyday. We never know when our time is up. We're all on borrowed time, essentially. The only thing that's guaranteed in life is that it's going to end at some point. And we don't know when that is. We all act as if we have all this time in the world, but you don't know that. I don't know that. Tomorrow could be it for either of us, or not. And so it's all about, what are you going to do with today? Do you like the person that you are today? What are you going to do to change that if the answer is no? So anyways, I like it. It's a good read. I recommend it if that seems like something that you would enjoy. And the love story is there, and it's very sweet, and yes, go read it. And then let me know what you think of it. If you think it's trash, or if you also throw it at the end when you're done reading it. I think the first time I threw a book in anger was the first time I read Harry Potter and the Half-Blood Prince, back when it first came out, when Dumbledore died, I was so upset. I was just like in disbelief. And I kept reading to be like, no, no, like the same thing that Harry was doing, right? Like he kept waiting for for Dumbledore's body to, like, you know, come back. You know, he's like, surely he pulled some last minute spell out of his hat as he was falling. Oh, he's really dead. I was so mad. I threw the book across the room. Just tossed that shit across the room. Oh, it was rough. Books just can tear your soul apart sometimes, but I keep going back for more. That hurts so good, right? The fuck did I want to talk to you guys about today? Oh, I remember. Depression. Talk about a transition. I was talking to you guys last week about how the reason why I took a hiatus that I wasn't planning. I've been going through some stuff in my personal life. Life threw a massive curveball at me that I obviously wasn't prepared for. And I did spiral into a bit of a depression. And I feel like I'm finally, like, coming out of it, like a progressively less depressed thing. I don't know what to call it. And I'm really proud of how I handled this last depressive spell, because normally I spiral and let it mean a bunch of things about me that aren't actually true. I resist it. There's a lot of negative self-talk that sounds a lot like, what the fuck is wrong with me? Why can't I just get my shit together? I don't have time for this. All of that. And I just didn't partake in that this time. Those thoughts still came up from time to time, but I just recognized them as thoughts, optional thoughts, because that's all your thoughts are. They're all optional. They're just sentences in your head. That's it. And so I didn't keep those thoughts. I was like, that's not helpful. That's not serving me. And it's also just not true. It's okay. Like, depression definitely has a purpose. And let me just pause here. I am not a therapist. I am not a licensed therapist. I am not a doctor. I did not go to school for psychotherapy. That is not what I'm ever here to do. I am not talking about clinical depression. I'm talking about a situational depression. My dog just made a really weird sneeze, noise, grunt combination, whatever. Not talking about clinical depression. Those are two different things. Please do not, like, always listen to your doctor. If you are seeing a medical professional for your mental health, first of all, fucking good job. Good for you. It takes so much effort to get to that point where you have, like, where you've pep talked yourself enough to go to the doctor, to get rid of the shame thoughts enough to go to the doctor. I'm so proud of you for going to the doctor. I've been there, been on antidepressants. Like, I've been there. It's hard to get to that point where you're finally like, I need help. Proud of you. Please listen to your doctor. That being said, I do believe that the things that I talk about on this podcast and thought work and life coaching in general is always a really helpful, useful tool to add on top of the things that your therapist is telling you to do. This stuff is never going to harm you, but don't ever take anything that I say here as a, I'm going to just stop taking all my meds. Don't do that. Anyways, there is a type of depression, situational depression. Sometimes depression is, it can serve you. And that's something that I, like, really came to grips with last year, when I realized that when I looked back at my life and the times that I had been depressed, and I could see how depression was serving me. And the first time that I can really remember being truly depressed was when I was 15, 16 years old, and I got diagnosed with Guillain-Barré syndrome, which I've talked about in a previous episode. It's it's a neurological disorder that temporarily paralyzes you. And the healing process, it is very painful and it takes a very long time. I was out of school for my whole junior year of high school. So I must have been 16. That was like the first time that I can really remember being like really depressed. But at the time I didn't associate what I was going through with depression. I just was like, I'm just in a fucking bad mood. and I was in a bad mood, but I can see how my depression really served me in that time because I was in so much physical pain and also so much emotional pain. And I didn't have the capacity to feel all of that pain. And that's something that depression does for us. It numbs, and that numbing can serve you for a time. Obviously, if you live there forever and you never leave the numb, that's not good. Because you stop living. Because life is 50-50. It's about all of the feelings. So to stay where you can't feel anything, or you have, you know, a diminished experience of feeling for too long, that's not healthy. And so I, having this understanding and, you know, going into this depression, it didn't feel like I was out of control or of what was happening to me. It didn't feel like my brain was spiraling and doing something that I didn't want it to do. And I was totally out of control and had no autonomy or authority. It was more of just like trusting my body to do what I needed to do for myself right now in this really hard season where, again, I needed to not feel everything. It was too much to feel everything all at once. And because I didn't resist it, it just was such a cleaner experience. Carl Lowenthal from the Unfuck Your Brain podcast, I recommend her all the time because she's the one that podcast was my first introduction to thought work and life coaching and totally changed my life. She changed my life. But she has an episode on clean versus dirty pain. And that's what I was thinking of with this depressive spell. It's just like, this was a really clean way of getting through depression because I didn't resist it, because I was always like retracting and rewording any shame thoughts that came up, because I just allowed it. I allowed that part of my healing process. And now I've been slowly coming out of it. And, you know, also being okay with that, being okay with like, because it's not a thing where it's just like you wake up one day and poof, it's all gone and you're all better and you're back to your normal self every single day from now going forward. That's just not how it works. That's always how my perfectionist brain wants it to work. And I'm sure that a lot of you fall into that trap too. And it sucks because you have a day or like a half a day, like Monday, pretty sure it was this last Monday, a day this week. Let's call it Monday. I was like having a quote, really good day for the first half. And then I just kind of hit a plateau and down we went. And I was, my initial like knee jerk reaction was to be frustrated because I was like, God damn, like I was having a good day. What the fuck happened? Like I had plans for my evening going into like a good evening and that didn't happen. And I actually tracked it down to one thought that I had at the beginning of my day. And it became the lens that I saw the rest of my day through. And yeah, the rest of it just kind of went to shit. But that's okay. And I'm truly like at peace with that. It's okay. That wasn't wasted time. I learned something from that experience. We're not meant to be at our like maximum productivity and efficiency all the time. And that is something that has taken me all 36 of my fucking years to learn. I would get so frustrated with myself. And again, I still do. I just have to like reroute my brain to the new thoughts and the new way of thinking and being. I get so frustrated when I have days where I'm like on fire, getting all the things done, just a fucking machine from sun up to sundown. And then the next day, like, I get half of that shit done. You know, there's just this part of my brain that wants so badly for me to like aspire to get to a point where like I just am the productivity machine every single day, and that's what I'm supposed to aspire to, that's what I'm supposed to be working towards. But that's not the case, because we're not machines. That's not the human experience. And so much of my journey in the last year especially has been letting that unhealthy shit go and being okay with being a human and not being my maximum productivity self every fucking day. That's exhausting. It's how we burn ourselves out. So if you are going through a season of life that's hard, if you are feeling a little bit depressed, if you're telling yourself the story like, Jesus, I'm like, you know, bare minimum, like getting the bare minimum done every day, and I feel like a piece of shit, please stop talking to yourself like that. Stop talking to my dear friend like that, because you're doing a really good job. And right now in this moment, it's okay if you don't have the capacity to feel everything. Let your depression do that for you, knowing that you're not always going to live here. It's okay. And I know that because I didn't resist it, it just, again, was a cleaner experience for me. And I'm also getting out of it faster than I would have otherwise. And I know that because of just history. Historically speaking, whenever I resist anything, it takes a lot longer for me to process it. And that's just scientifically true too, as far as processing any emotion. Depression isn't the bad guy. Our brains aren't the bad guy. Our brains are never trying to trick us. They're always trying to help us. And I like to liken human brains to toddlers. You know, toddlers, when they want to like help you with the dishes or help you do anything really, and they are so enthusiastic and they love you so much. They really, really, really just want to help mommy, but they're not fucking helpful. Actually, it ends up taking you longer to do the thing with the toddler helping than it would have if you just got them distracted with some Bluey and fucking did it yourself. But they can't help it. You know, they're learning. And so, and that's what, that's the image I always bring back to myself whenever I'm frustrated with my brain doing something like trying to help and it's just not fucking helpful. It's just like a toddler trying to be helpful. The intention is pure. And so when I think about depression, I think about like the image that comes to mind is the toddler made a mess and is worried about upsetting you. And so they take a blanket and they cover up the spilled milk or whatever it is on the carpet. They cover it with a blanket. That's what depression does. It just kind of like hides it temporarily until you're ready to pick up the blanket and see what the mess is and process and deal with it and clean it up. And that imagery has helped me a lot. Because I'll talk to myself and my brain, when I'm ready. I'm just like, okay, I know that you were helping me. I know that I wasn't ready to feel that pain, but I'm ready to feel it now. And like covering it up and hiding it isn't helping anymore. And I know that you want to help me. So lift the blanket up so I can see what's going on and we can handle it. I hope this was helpful for you guys. And I want to know what you want to hear from me on this podcast. I want to bring on some guests and actually do that this time. Because I know I've talked about that a lot. But that first year of podcasting, I just was really focused on like getting in the habit of like consistently podcasting. And I still didn't even really succeed in that, but it's okay because I keep showing up. Gonna get there. But I want to hear all of the feedback from you guys. So like what you're loving about the podcast, what you would like changed or to be different. I welcome constructive criticism, topics you would like covered. Angelica, I have not forgotten about your suggestion. One of my best friends, I have known this bitch since first grade. Okay. I love her so much and I appreciate our friendship and how it has stood the test of time and so many different like evolutions of self. And we're still very good friends, from the first grade. And she texted me about, how to not feel guilty asking for help, which is such a good topic. And I'm going to cover that. What else would you like me to cover? And what books are you guys reading? What TV shows are you watching? I just binged Heartbreaker. Why do I keep calling it Heartbreaker? But that is the movie from, like the early 2000s or late 90s. I think it's early 2000s with Jennifer Love Hewitt and Sigourney Weaver. Is that her name? With the mother-daughter con team who like lure men in and then, yeah. That movie is so hilarious. It's a good one. I gotta watch it again. But that's Heartbreaker. Heartstopper is the TV show that I just binged on Netflix because my daughter Aria loves that show and she's currently reading the graphic novels that it's based off of. And I finally watched it and it is really good. I really love that show. It's a gaytopia. It's totally a gaytopia because all of the main characters are either gay, bi, trans, and like the three main teachers that you see because they're high school students are also gay. And so I know I'm not on like Reddit threads or I don't go and read other people's opinions all the time because it would just be exhausting to me, but I'm sure that probably a lot of people have probably criticized it because of for there not being like a straight storyline. But you know what? It's all about rebooting the algorithm. So we all know what an algorithm is. And yes, that is a man-made thing dealing with computers, but it's super helpful to think of algorithms when we're talking about social justice issues, because people will complain about, it's March, it's Women's History Month and, Black History Month and Hispanic History Month and all of these things. And it's just like, well, white people don't have a month. And if they did, there would be an uproar. And straight people don't have a month. And if there did, there would be an uproar. And if it's really about equality, then there should be a straight couple in Heartstopper too. Okay. Here's the thing. When all of history has been about the straight white experience, the algorithm of our brains is like just focused on that. And the point of all of this infusion of other voices into our culture and giving it like special times of the year where we're focused on it and creating whole TV shows that are just about being gay or just about being Black or just about being Hispanic or Asian or anything that is not white is about rebooting that algorithm in our brains. That's what it's about. It's not about erasing the white experience, the straight experience. It's just about, like, you know, when the freeways were first being built, and they had to go and literally explode, you know, sides of mountains and stuff to create the hole for the road to go through. It's kind of like that. You just got to like fucking blow shit up a little bit in order to make space for this new. And it's not that this stuff hasn't been around. Obviously it's been around. It just hasn't been talked about. It hasn't been in our dominant culture. Because of history. Go read a history book. I'm not here to give you guys a history lesson, but anyways, get off my soapbox. Heartstopper is really good. I really love it. And I need a new season. Okay. They were about to say, I love you to each other. And I don't even know if he sent the text or maybe he did, but like, I need a new season. I want to know what shows you guys are binging, books you're binging, and what you want to talk about on this podcast. I love you. Have a great week.
Are you living your one wild life to the fullest? You're not? Why the fuck not? What are you waiting for? The time to live is now, mama. Do not wait until your youngest is in college. Let your dreams hire me for an hour so I can explain how I can help you achieve any goal in your life. You've put yourself off long enough. It's time to pour into you. The link to schedule your 60-minute complimentary consultation is in my show notes. Join the community of Fuck It Moms by following me on Instagram and Facebook at Fuck It Mothering. That's fuck without the U. So F-C-K It Mothering. Make sure you subscribe to my channel so you never miss your weekly encouragement. And please rate, review, comment, and share. All of these things help with the algorithms, so that way when other overwhelmed moms are looking for encouragement, they can find me. Every month, I give away one of my favorite books and a Starbucks card to a lucky winner. All you have to do to enter is write a review or tag me in social media when you share an episode. See you next Sunday, gorgeous.